We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Here's the question that I'm faced with. Have you ever wanted to change jobs, children, wives, spouses, dogs, cars, houses? Have you ever just got to that point to where you're like, you know what, if I could just change my environment, I would change my outcome. If I could just change where I work, if I could just change who I live with, if I could just change my spouse or my kid or my boss or my, if I could just change those things, then. If I could just change this thing, then this thing would change. And here's the reality that I've really come to embrace this week, is there is a difference between environment and atmosphere. See, environment is where I live. By definition, environment is this, the surroundings or conditions in which a person, animal, or plant operates. That is the physical world around me, and honestly, you have very little control over what goes on around you. I'm going to prove it to you in about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to celebrate an event called Thanksgiving, and all your crazy family is going to come over there, and inevitably one of your crazy spouse relatives or your spouse's relatives or your splelatives or whatever you want to call them are going to start talking, and you're going to have an oh my goodness moment. I can't believe my mama just said that to my husband. I just can't believe my daddy just said it to my wife. I can't believe my crazy brother just, I can't believe my aunt, you know, just. That's the environment that you live in. You can't change that. Most of us can't change where we work as we want to. We can't change the car we drive. We can't change the spouse we prayed for and married. We can't change the dog we adopted. Does this make sense? Most of us can't change where we go to school. That's our environment. But there's a second word I want you to look at, and it's called atmosphere. By definition, it is a pervading tone or mood of a place. It is a prevailing, he's pervading. I like prevailing a whole lot better. I got ready to change Webster because I thought it was a little bit more accurate. It's the mood. It's the tone. Have you ever walked into a place? Man, I can walk into service before we start, and generally 5 minutes in, I can tell you who got frustrated with who. I can tell you what leaders spent time in the presence of the Lord and which ones spent time in the presence of TV. This isn't like a pick on leaders thing. There are days when I go to walk into my message and I'm like, whoo, I got it. Ah, man, I just feel God moving. And then there are weeks where I'm like, I'm not sure we still know each other. That may be too honest, but it's truth. There are days, I know when I talk to musicians, there are just days when it's like they're not even playing. It's the Holy Spirit playing through them. And then there are days where God just left them on their own, it felt like. Can I get a witness from a musician that when you just are like, whoo, you know, you get done playing that 1 week and everybody's patting you on the back and you're like, it's all God. And then the next week you're like, that one's all me. God had nothing to do with it. Don't blame that on him. Does this make sense? So here's the question. In order to get where you're trying to go, do you need to change your environment or your atmosphere? I mean, like it's easy like sitting in church to say it, but what about Monday before your first cup of coffee? But after you've talked to your boss, you know, the narcissist. It's easy to say that because you're in church and you and your spouse hopefully aren't going to fight in church. But there's a good chance you got to leave. And the fight you had in the car on the way here is waiting in the console. You ever had that fight when you thought it was over and you reached for her hand only to find the console? That's how you know it's still going. Because her hand was there when you glanced down to grab it. And the Lord ain't going to rapture us in parts, so it's just missing. Paul and Silas go to a place in Acts 16, 16 through 34. And it starts this way. Now, it happened that as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. In other words, she was demon-possessed, who brought her masters much profit by fortune teller. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim us to be who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Here's the thing that you need to figure out is that everybody that champions you is not for you, and everybody that criticizes you is not against you. The problem is that I'll be honest with you, most of us pray, if you're a pastor, you pray for a church full of the people that are going, "Oh, look how good Paul and Silas are. Man, they're here," right? When the problem is that it wasn't the Lord working through this lady, it was actually the devil. And she did this for many days. You ever had somebody do something to you for many days? The next line is you. But Paul got greatly annoyed. Annoyed can be a spiritual condition. See, sometimes you have to get annoyed with your current situation to change what's going on around you. Does this make sense? Paul said, "Look, environmentally, I got this girl, but I'm about done with my environment." Does this make sense? I'm about done with this. I'm about to change the atmosphere of what's going on around me. Because while she's proclaiming something that seems to be very true, was she interrupting Paul and Silas? Was her proclamation of something good actually done at the wrong time? See, you can do the right thing in the wrong time and it's still wrong. That's hard for Christian folk to get a hold of. I'll leave it alone. And turned to the spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. Now here's the question. Have you ever done the right thing and had the wrong thing happen? Have you ever sat there and you're like, man, because think about it. If I looked at you and said, "Look, we're going to deal with the demonic spirit and we're going to cast it out," everybody would be like, "Okay, that's probably a good thing." Have you ever said, "You know what, I found out that somebody was embezzling money and I needed to bring it to somebody's attention, but when I brought it to somebody's attention, somehow I got drug into it. I was doing the right thing, but how come when I do the right thing, sometimes, you know, man, I'm a good worker. I don't cheat, I don't lie, I show up on time, I do my job, I keep my nose down, I don't gossip. Man, I'm a great employee. How come I'm getting treated like this, but this sloth is being treated with this?" Somebody explain this to me. Man, you know what I need? I need a new job. I love this. Listen to what you get for doing well sometimes. And they brought them to the magistrates, and they said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled to our city, and they teach our customs, which are not lawful to us being Romans, to receive or observe. The multitudes rose up, gathered against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they'd laid many stripes on him, they threw him into prison. Commanding the jailer to keep him securely, having received such a charge, he put her in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Sounds like a great day. I did a good thing. How'd your day go? Better than theirs. Right. I mean, my boss just yelled at me. They got stripped, beat with rods, shackled at the feet in the inner sanctum of the prison. So now they're left with a choice. Here's the environment that they live in. They just went from free men to slaves. They're being treated much more cruelly than their lifestyle dictates. So now they're left with a choice of how do I deal with the environment that I've been thrown into? Because see, sometimes that's how I feel. I feel like sometimes I don't live in the environment that I chose. I live in an environment that was dictated to other people for me. Like I took the job, but I didn't know it meant this. I took the job, but I really didn't realize that this was what it looked like. I married them, but I didn't know that they were crazy. I mean, I wanted to have kids, but I forgot. I didn't realize they grew up to become teenagers. Or maybe, and I'll be honest with you, I like teenagers. I didn't know that a little kid pooped and didn't sleep this much. There's no off button. And while people will tell you they're cute, they won't take them. Long enough for me to get a night's sleep. I mean, I prayed for a boyfriend, I prayed for a girlfriend, but I didn't realize that they were this much trouble. Now I feel like the thing I prayed for put me in prison. Watch this. Verse 25. But at midnight. You know, I always skipped over this. Courts don't operate at midnight. Courts generally don't operate at 9 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock. Generally, they end somewhere around 5 o'clock. So what happened? Now, we know they were beaten and they were stripped, but in my guesstimation, I have no Bible to back this up, they were probably beaten somewhere between lunchtime and 5 o'clock because those folks are going home. They've got the good job. Like, you're not executing somebody at 10 o'clock at night. Like, you can get that done during the day. I mean, does that make sense? Hey, we're going to flip the switch at 7. I'll be home, you know, I'll be home by mid-morning. That's my job. In the Roman Empire, there were men who were literally paid to ruthlessly beat and execute people. That was their job. But it was more of a 9 or 5-er. So what happened between 5 o'clock and midnight? That's a 7-hour gap. See, here's the problem. I think that some of us have been living in the 7-hour gap. We're so focused on our environment that we begin to focus on our environment and not our atmosphere. We begin to focus on what everybody else is doing rather than focus on what we're doing. We're looking at the location and the problems that we have rather than looking and focusing on the promises that we have. I was talking to Kendall and Eric, and they're getting ready to go to Haiti. Please be, and I don't say this as just a happy preacher thing. Write this in your notes. Pray for Kendall and Erica as they prepare to go to Haiti. That is a level 3, we believe, right now, security threat. 4, everything. I mean, the embassy is limited in lockdown right now and that kind of thing. And I said, are y'all planning on going? I said, yeah. I mean, we could get beaten or robbed or killed, but yeah, we're going to Haiti because that's where the Lord told us to go. And if the Lord wants us to wait, we'll wait. But if he gives us a door in, Geronimo. Because you can't look at the environment, you have to look at the atmosphere. So from 7 to midnight, so here's the thing, if you've been in your 5 to midnight time, it's okay. Paul and Silas had a 5 to midnight time. But then, shackled at the ankles to the wall. You ever felt like you were a slave to the thing that is driving you crazy? You're tied to the thing that's torturing your mind and your life. What happens is it becomes hopeless. And that's where Paul and Silas were. They were in the inner sanctum. They were in a hopeless place. Then it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. And the prisoners were listening to them. How you go through your environment and how you control the atmosphere in your environment will matter, not just for you, but because people are always watching and listening to you. They're watching and seeing how you will endure your environment. So what did Paul and Silas do? They can't change the jail. They can't change the smell. Odds are they were not going to die from their imprisonment. They were going to die from disease that was going to come from being beat with a rod and having open wounds and then going into a cesspool that was prison. They had just been given a death sentence. So had every man inside that jail. Some of y'all feel like that's where you work. That was funny. Some of y'all feel like that's the spouse that you married. Some of you feel like that's your financial destination, is that you're going to be in prison and even entombed in your problems. So Paul and Silas changed the only thing that they could change. If you can't change your environment, change your atmosphere. Paul and Silas began to pray and they began to worship God. And they lived it out loud so much that other people were watching and listening. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. I want you to pay attention to something, though. Before your environment can change, your atmosphere has to change. Before your environment can change, your after the atmosphere changed, then the environment changed. 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 Maybe you don't need a new job, you just need a new attitude. Maybe you don't need a new wife, maybe you just need a different attitude. Maybe you don't need a different boss, maybe you need to learn how to thrive under that so that God can open the doors and really give you freedom, not an escape route. See, what a lot of people want is escape, when what God wants is maturity. People are afraid to amen that. If I amen that, it's like praying for patience. I ain't doing it. Not your preacher, you won't get me to fall for that. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, waking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing that all the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice and said, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Here's the thing, when atmosphere changes, environment becomes less important. If you can change your atmosphere, you will care so much less about your environment. You know, because here's the thing, happy people are happy no matter where you plant them. If you plant corn, no matter where you plant it, it's still corn. It doesn't matter. You can't make it anything else. Here's the problem. Some of us are allowing our environment to grow us into something that we were never created to be. Your attitude isn't the attitude you were created to have. Your faith walk was not the faith walk that you're supposed to have. But if you change the environment, you'll still have the same atmosphere, just in a different place. Because whatever you're running from is waiting on you wherever you're going. But if you can change the atmosphere first, if you can sing when you're broken, if you can smile when you want to cry, if you can laugh when what you want to do is go into a funk, if you can focus on the promises and things of God and hold on to them. Now, I'm not saying that you never change your environment, but the first thing you have to change is your atmosphere. All God's changes come from the inside out, never the outside in. Watch this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But then he called for a light and ran in. He didn't believe Paul and Silas. See, when you start to change, people around you aren't going to believe anything. They're not going to believe that your change is real. And he brought him out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? A change in your atmosphere will cause your captors to become your disciples. When you begin to change, the people that you think hold the bondage over you will become people who you have a voice into their lives. So here's the problem. If you take a story like, you can take a story like this and go, okay, well, I've heard Paul and Silas and I've kind of heard all this before. What are you really teaching me? I'm teaching you that what the focus of your heart and the meditation of your heart and the confession of your mouth will lead you into or out of your environment. That is your atmosphere. If you will start listening to what you're talking about, whether you're speaking faith or fear, whether you're speaking frustration or promises, does this make sense? You'll find out what your real atmosphere is. And you can sit there and say, man, I've heard this about Paul and Silas, but I want to take you somewhere else. I want to take you to Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to pick up in verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand and its kings and the mighty men of favor. Has God lost his flipping mind? Did you not read the sentence before it? God, in case you missed it, you just said, now Jericho was securely shut up because of its children of Israel. None went in and none came out. God, we're out and they're in. We don't have them. We don't even have good weapons. But God looks at him and goes, see? You've got them. God, maybe we're not seeing the same thing. We're talking about that Jericho, not like Jericho, Alabama. Could it be that you and God aren't seeing your situation the same way? Could it be that you and God don't have the same plan? See, God said your plans are not my plans. And your way out of this may not be my way. So are you talking about environment or are you talking about atmosphere? See, I guarantee you that when the children of Israel looked, or Joshua looked and said, see, that sea wasn't the same sea. It's the next line that matters. You shall march once around the city, all your men of war. Well, aren't fighting men supposed to fight? Maybe we should go knock on the door. He said, no, just take a walk. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets. Oh, he said, you shall do this for 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests will blow their trumpets. So God, all you're saying is that I don't need to attack the environment. I just attack the atmosphere. I never saw it before. I mean, I always saw this mighty move of God. I never saw the environment, the atmospheric change before the environmental change. What they wanted was the environment to change. But when God gives them instructions, it's instructions towards worship and towards confession and towards action that they control that ultimately changes the environment of the people around them. He goes on and he says this. He said, can I just skip the rest of it? Everybody pretty much know the story of Jericho. So then I sit there and I go, okay, God, that's two great stories. But what else do you have? Because I can't build a theology on two things. There has to be what they call continuity of Scripture, right? So now I've got Old Testament and I've got New Testament, but I kind of need a three, because a three-wound cord is not easily broken. It's the thing that God's in. God created humans as a triune spirit. He created the Trinity as a triune God. Does that make sense? So three is kind of where the sweet spot is. I went to 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 through 45. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain. Now, they've been in a drought. This is right after the prophets of Baal, and they call down fire from heaven, right? And they're in like a seven-year drought. And he looks at him and says, because here's, and I taught this to my leadership team, calling down fire on people's head is easy. But when you're in a drought, you don't need fire. You need rain. When you're in a situation, you don't need to hear the harshness of God. You need to hear the how-tos of God. How do I get out of my situation? Because, man, when I come to church, that's really what I want to hear. I want to hear, how do I change my life? How do I get out of what I'm in? Listen, as Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain. He began to, now you've got to watch this. What are they looking for? They're looking for an environmental change. But he looks at him and begins to speak to his confession. Not just a confession of the man, because I see people confess stuff all the time and then have different actions. Believe in God to lose weight. I'll have a number seven combo with big fries, sweet tea. God's like, your confession and your action aren't matching. What Elijah says is go and prepare for the rain. I love this. So Ahab went and to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed to the ground and put his face between his knees. What was he looking at? How do you look for rain with your face between your knees? Because he understood this, that he had to change the atmosphere before he changed the environment. Hey, matter of fact, he goes and recruits a boy, and he says this. He went to the servant and said, now go look for towards the sea. And he looked up and he said, there's nothing. So Elijah is so interested in the environment that he's not even looking at the environment. See, sometimes the focus of how you live your life will dictate your environment. Does this make sense? He said, I'm more interested in fixing my atmosphere, because if I fix my atmosphere, the environment will take care of itself. He looks at him and have you ever done this? So he went and he sent the servant up and he looked and said, there's nothing. I'm going to teach you something deep that if you're going to apply what I'm about to teach you, you just got to keep looking. If you're looking to change the atmosphere, remember in the other text it said, and after these things? So after you march, then the walls will fall. After you worship, then the chains will fall off. After, it's going to come after that. Well, how long after? I don't know. I mean, Paul and Silas were at midnight. It took them 7 hours to wrap their mind around where they were at. See, sometimes you have to wrap your mind around where you're at and decide that you're going to change the atmosphere, not the environment. So he sent this poor boy up. I never saw this before. He said this. He said, there's nothing. And seven times he told him to go again. And then it came to pass that the seventh time he said this, there's a cloud as small as the size of a man's hand rising out of the sea. Now let me ask you a question. Here's the thing I never thought. I always took it as that was the first small cloud he ever saw. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe the boy ran up and down the mountain seven times to where he was tired of the environment he was in, so he changed the atmosphere that he was speaking from? I never thought about it before. He gets up on top of the mountain, he goes, yeah, back there, there's a little bitty cloud. That's got to be what you're looking for. That's rain. Because I don't want to go up the mountain again. That's it. It's little, man. It's there, but it's loaded. It's white, but it's a sneaky cloud. There's all kinds of thunder in it. I'm just telling you, it's behind the white one. Have you ever thought about that? I literally always thought that it was just a beautiful blue sky with one little cloud, and it's the first time he ever saw it. And I was sitting there studying this week, and the Lord said this. He said, maybe there were clouds before that one. Maybe the runner's atmosphere had to change too. Maybe he had to begin to look for stuff that wasn't even there. Because see, if you're going to change your environment and you're going to change your atmosphere, you're going to have to look for stuff that isn't even there. You're going to have to look for hope in things you previously overlooked. You're going to have to look for things in stuff you previously dismissed. You're going to have to look. So he said, I love this. He said, go up and prepare your chariot to go down before the rain stops you. What are you preparing for? Like this, like if you decide you're going to have a great marriage and you're going to change the atmosphere in your house, does it really matter what they do? They're just the environment. That's like getting mad at your couch. Your couch can't make you cuss because you kicked it with your toe trying to answer the phone. It's just a fixture. If you're biblical, you can't change who you're married to. You're stuck with them. You picked them. It's like bad bananas. Buy them at Walmart and they look pretty. By the time you get them home, they're ready for banana bread. You better figure out what to do with them. Does this make any sense? You are environmental. I am atmosphere. I'm just going to be straight with you. For the last couple of days, I have been mad at everybody. I mean, I've been frustrated. I mean, not like everybody, but stuff's just been getting on my nerves, right? You know what I did? I looked at the Lord and said, I'm just going to be quiet. You planted me here. I love people, man. Don't get me wrong. But I'm human. I'm just like you, right? Stuff frustrates me. I said, Lord, I don't want to change my environment. If this is prison, leave me here. Send a jailer to check. I ain't going anywhere. You ain't even got to shackle me to the wall. You ain't got to lock the door. I ain't going anywhere. But Lord, give me the wisdom to change my atmosphere. God, I'm going to change my atmosphere with my wife. I'm going to change my atmosphere with my kid. I'm going to change my atmosphere with my leaders. I'm going to change my atmosphere with my volunteers. I'm going to change my atmosphere with my dog. I can't, right? It's not up to them to change. They're the environment. I'm the atmosphere. I pick the promises of God that I'm going to hold on to. I pick the confession that comes out of my mouth. I pick the destiny that I'm going to. Because I'm not trying to live up to my potential. I'm trying to live up to my purpose. So we come to close. Here are the things that I feel like the Lord told me to tell you. He said, get ready because the atmosphere, the clouds that are around you are about to change. Stuff in your life is about to change. As you change the atmosphere, God will change your environment. The second thing was this, that although it had been 7 years of a drought, as long as you may have been in something for 7 years, God is about to break the chains off of your life. The stuff that you've struggled with, the stuff that you'd never be free from, the addictions, the problems, the thing. Paul says it this way, the sin that so easily besets you. God said this, as you change your atmosphere, God said, as you change your atmosphere, I'll give you freedom. God said this, as you change your atmosphere, I fulfill your purpose. If you'll worry about your confession, if you'll worry about your hope, if you'll worry about being positive in a negative place, if you'll worry, if you just take care of what I've promised you, it's like this, what has God promised me? God said this, I want you to grow the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to walk in love with people. I want you to have joy. How do I have joy? Start laughing at stuff. Start laughing at stuff you used to cuss. You come home, your kids make a mess, rather than letting your head spin around like that old demonic movie. You know the one I'm talking about if you're from the 90s. Laugh at them. Be like, y'all ain't never getting out of this house. Ooh, Jesus. He probably going to come back before y'all get this place cleaned up. But guess what? Mama's going in here to get a bath. And when I come out, if y'all ever want anything to eat again, clean it up. Gary, change my 400 stinky poopy diaper. You know what, God? Thank God that my baby's bowels are working right. You bless my baby so much, you put him in overdrive. Oh, how blessed am I. God, don't change the environment, because if you change the environment, you'd have to take my baby away. No, I think I'm good with God. I really want to choke my teenager out. But you know what? The truth be known, that's a blessing from the Lord is what you said. So maybe I don't need to choke them out. Maybe I need to find a way to deal with this in a way that's joyful. And if they're not happy, Lord, at least keep me happy. Because they're environmental. And I'm atmospheric. My boss is an idiot. But you said that you put leaders in places. So Lord, don't change my leader. Develop me to learn how to deal with stupid. Because wherever you're leading me to, whatever walls are going to fall down, whether you promote me or you take me to a new company, stupid is waiting on the other side. They're either going to be a boss. Hey, stupid is either going to be a boss or an employee. Get used to it. Figure out how to deal with it. Lord, give me peace. Why do I need peace? Because there are going to be times I don't want to walk in peace. God ain't going to give you something you don't need. If He looks at you and says, I want you to have this, it's because you're going to need it. Why do we take fruit with us? So we got something to eat later. When I get hungry. You're going to eat the fruit of peace when you need it. Lord, give me the fruit of patience. What does patience do? It gets you from 5 o'clock to the midnight hour. It gets you from where the problem starts to where breakthrough happens. People go, I'm afraid to pray for patience. You already need it. God ain't going to give you extra just because you have not because you have. Well, God's going to bring. No, God's not going to do that. It was coming anyway. God doesn't give you a sickness so that He. Does this make sense? God said this. He said, I'm going to give you healing before you need it. I'm going to give you salvation before you were even born. I'm going to give you patience, not because I'm going to send more junk on you. It's the stupidest thing I ever hear Christians say. I don't pray for patience. I used to say it. One day the Lord looked at me and He's like, don't be stupid. You need patience. Because your kids are going to try you, and your spouse is going to try you, and your dog's going to try you, and your grass is going to try you, and your lawnmower's going to try you, and your truck's going to try you, and your car's going to try you, and your neighbor across the street's going to try you, and your loving mother's going to try you, and your daddy's going to try you, and your grandmother's going to try you. People are going to try you, and if you don't have it, your environment will dictate your atmosphere. But if you got a banana, when you get hungry, you eat it, right? If you got an apple, you get hungry. God said, I'm giving it to you so that you're prepared for it. So here's the thing, man. Stop praying for your environment to change. Now, if you're looking for a new job, go look for a new job. You know, don't look for a new spouse. It's frowned on. This isn't a don't do that message, but it is a this message. Ask yourself this question. Is the environment the problem? Or is the atmosphere the problem? Will you stand to your feet? Father, today as we come to close, Father, today I know that we may be in horrible situations. Father, we may be in environments that are hellish. But Father, today give us the strength not to worry about the environment as much as we worry about the atmosphere. If you're in here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've been fighting environment, but today the Lord revealed to me that I've got an atmosphere problem. There are three ways that you change your atmosphere. One, you focus on the promises of God. Two, you spend time in prayer. And three, you worship. Last week I taught a message about the scarecrow, and a day before you leave, my prayer over your life, if you remember when the scarecrow, we talked about the promises of God being like a cornfield. And I said, what do you plant in a cornfield? And I brought Liz up and she spread her arms out like a scarecrow. And I said, you know, the scarecrow looks a lot like a worshiper if you just turn the palms up. That the way that sometimes you drive the enemy out of the promises that God has is with your worship. Well, today God says this. God says that the atmosphere is directly tied to your attitude and your worship. If you've got a heart, a positive heart towards the things of God, the fruit of the Spirit, but you've also got a heart of worship, God will keep you tender, man. He'll help you change the atmosphere around you. Father, today I believe I've done what you'd have me do. God, I believe I've said what you'd have me to say. Father, I ask that right now, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that may not know you, God, maybe they've never accepted you. They've never made a decision to turn from their sin, Father, and follow you. Father, if they're here this morning, if you're here this morning, will you just, we're not going to embarrass you with every head down, every eye closed. Will you just slip your hand up and say, you know what, Pastor, today I need to make a decision to live my life for God. If that's you, will you just slip your hand up for me? I'm going to assume that everybody under the sound of my voice is saved. You've made that decision to serve the Lord. If you're here today and you say, you know what, man, I need my atmosphere to change. I feel like I'm stuck in my environment. And God, I just need you to change my atmosphere. Will you just lift your hands towards heaven as we pray? Father, right now, I just feel like I'm stuck, God. I feel like my environment is dictating my future rather than my atmosphere. So today, Father, I'm going to turn my heart, I'm going to turn my mind towards you, Father. I'm going to focus on what you say about me. God, I'm going to do like Elijah did. I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm going to focus on the promises that you've made me. Father, I'm going to work on my attitude and my reactions, God. I'm going to work on how I deal with people, God. I'm going to work on the things that I can control, and I'm going to change the atmosphere around me. And then, God, I'm trusting you with the environment. Father, I just pray that right now you open our hearts and minds, God, so that we can pursue you, God, to change our atmosphere. Forget about our environment. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.